You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter Anthony DiComo. And you cover the darlings of baseball right now. One of the things that I have often thought about Citi Field is it's really a terrific ballpark, and I can't wait to see it really rock. And we've seen it some with Matt Harvey. We saw it at the All-Star game. But with how the kind of facility, the kind of atmosphere Shea could have, and with what a beautiful ballpark Citi Field is, I think a lot of people have really waited to have that place be electric. And I realize it's only April, but just if you even know Met fans, you know there is excitement about this club. What's the vibe right now about this team that has won 10 in a row and is 12-3?
I mean, what could the vibe be? You get any team in baseball that wins 10 games in a row, it's going to be a lot of positivity. You know, it seems like they could never lose and so on and so forth. This is a fun place to watch baseball games. You hear players saying that you see it from the fans. And granted, you know, we're in April. It's still a little cold out. School's in session. They haven't had many of those 40,000-plus crowds yet. But, you know, if they keep playing like this, get into the summer, all of a sudden we can start seeing things here like we haven't seen really since the first year of Citi Field and beyond that since 07, 08, some of those last years at Shea Stadium when the Mets were really good and they were drawing crazy crowds all the time. It makes a huge difference for the energy level of the players, people in the clubhouse. It's fun for these guys to play when there's 40,000-plus people in the stands, when it's loud, when it's clear that everyone's engaged with what's going on. And, you know, unfortunately, that really hasn't happened here a lot in the past. So it's just another byproduct of winning baseball. You know, people say that winning heals everything, and it's kind of a cliche, but it does. It covers up a lot of things that might not be going your way. If you win, you know, it really takes care of a lot of other little problems that pop up when you don't.
And you kind of touched on what I'm about to ask, which is that, you know, this is a cool story no matter what. I mean, a lot of people have waited for several years for the Mets to be back and really in play, but they're doing without David Wright. They're now doing without Travis d'Arnaud. They're doing without Henry Mejia. I mean, this team has taken a ton of hits, and they are winning. So at the risk of asking a dumb and obvious question, how are they doing it?
Well, the counterargument, of course, is that it's not sustainable. And in a sense, it's not. No one can sustain, you know, winning 10 games in a row and just never losing. The best teams in baseball can't do that. But, you know, how are they doing it? It's not entirely smoke and mirrors. You know, a lot of the things that we talked about at the beginning of the season in spring training that were going to be so critical for this club have happened. You know, Travis d'Arnaud, he's hurt now, but before he was hurt, he was hitting a lot. We're seeing Curtis Granderson. You know, at first, he wasn't hitting to start the year, but he was drawing a ton of walks. He was getting on base, and he's starting to hit a little bit now. The pitching has been not as good as advertised, but better than advertised, particularly the starting pitching. They've gotten contributions out of the bullpen. The lefty reliever issue, while Jerry Blevins is hurt now, that hasn't been a problem. They've found guys, you know, being Blevins, Alex Torres, Sean Gilmartin, who have come through for this team. So just so many of the things. Wilmer Flores is another story, a guy who's really starting to hit now and whose defense after a rough first week has gotten a lot better. Just all these little things we're saying, well, if X, Y, and Z go right, the Mets can contend. Well, X, Y, and Z have gone right, and so has A, B, C, D, and so on and so forth. And while they've had some major injuries, the fact that everything around them, you know, has sort of gone according to plan has covered a lot of that up.
Let's talk a little about some of those injury situations. How are they going to handle the catching duties while they're doing without d'Arnaud? Is that just going to be Kevin Plawecki's job, or as somebody who used to live in Greenpoint, Plawecki? I feel myself inclined today. How are they going to handle the catching duties?
It's going to be Plawecki, unless he proves that he certainly can't handle it, which he's done the opposite so far. He's had a nice little start to his big league career. But they're going to give him every chance to succeed there. And the hope is that d'Arnaud will be maybe 4 or 5 weeks and he'll be back. and you know, maybe they have a nice little problem on their hands. Maybe it's just as easy as Darnold sliding right back in and Plawecki going back down to AAA. But you know, they like Plawecki a lot, and this is a nice little showcase for him, A, to prove that he's big league ready, that he doesn't deserve to go back down, you know, when Darnold comes back. But B, if he really takes this opportunity and runs with it, he could turn into a nice little trade chip for the Mets, you know, come the trade deadline when they might be looking to add, when they might be in contention at or near the top of the NL East with what they're doing now. If they have something they want to add at that time, he could be the guy that could really fetch them a nice prospect, a young, controllable catching prospect who's under team control for 6 seasons. He could really fetch them a nice piece.
And then the other thing that has really been hit hard is the bullpen. They continue losing guys one way or another. Is that beginning to be a worry just for sheer number of effective bodies, or is there enough optimism about guys coming back that they figure they can make it work until they start getting guys back again?
Well, it's definitely a concern because they've dipped into their depths to a big extent already so far. And what they have going for them is that, you know, the guys who have been here, who have been forced into duty, have performed well. So they really haven't missed the Henry Mejias of the world and some of the other guys. But, yeah, it's always a concern. They went into this season thinking the bullpen was going to be a real strength, but they lost a lot of depth pretty quickly with the guys they lost due to injury, with Mejia due to suspension, and so on and so forth. But it's another of those things, like we talked about at first, you know, until something actually starts going wrong, they seem to be in pretty good shape. They haven't really missed these guys. They went the first week plus of the season with an 8-man bullpen, which really helped. They didn't have to overuse guys, didn't have to tire anyone out, and they were able to sort of stretch out the rotation, which they didn't completely do in spring training. So far, so good. And while that might not last, you know, it's the same for with all these injuries, whether it's David Wright or Travis Darnold or what they've got going on in the bullpen. The longer they go and the bigger cushion they build while these guys are on the disabled list, all of a sudden, the less they're going to miss them, you know, if things start going south, because the sooner it's going to be until they come back. So what they're doing now is just almost creating an insurance policy for themselves that they're cashing at the same time. And, you know, this is a team that's, yeah, how are they doing it without all these guys? I really don't know. I don't have a good answer. I don't think a lot of people have a good answer, but they are doing it, and it's just been really, really tremendous to watch.
And there was a little bit of a scare this week about Matt Harvey, but everybody swears it's perfectly fine. There's nothing to worry about. Is that your read, that this really is perfectly fine and there's nothing to worry about?
Well, it's not an arm injury. It's an ankle injury. So that's you know, the massive good thing for the Mets. He does have what the Mets are calling a mild sprained ankle. I like to take the mild out of everything the Mets say, because it tends, you know, these things can tend to linger, and a lot of things that have been labeled mild in the past have turned out to be anything but. But the fact that it is a leg thing and not an arm thing leads me to sort of be optimistic from a Mets perspective on this one, that you don't necessarily worry about it. Now, you know, if he starts against the Yankees and all of a sudden lands funny, you know, ankle injuries can tend to linger and can tend to get serious. So it's definitely something to watch. But as far as it stopping Matt Harvey from being who he is on the mound, I don't think it'll have any effect, at least in the short term going forward.
All right. And now let's talk a little franchise four here. The Mets are one of those clubs with some that are very obvious, and maybe the last one is not so obvious. Tom Seaver, Mike Piazza, David Wright, Keith Hernandez are in. Gary Carter, John Franco, Doc Gooden, and Daryl Strawberry are out. If it were up to you, any of those guys who are currently out that you would bump up in favor of any of the guys who are currently in?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be really difficult to keep Doc Gooden out. I mean, he was such a franchise-changing person. He owned the city of New York for quite a few years. I mean, he was the Mets, and he really defined what that team, what that world champion 1986 team was all about. You know, he essentially single-handedly made the Mets relevant. I'd have a really tough time keeping him out, whether you want to put him in ahead of David Wright, who still, you know, has plenty left to accomplish, or ahead of Keith Hernandez, who had a lot of his best years elsewhere. I mean, I would argue for either one of those, but yeah, for me, Doc Gooden has to be in there.
Well, I'll say it for you, since you have to deal with him semi-regular and I don't. I would put him in over Keith Hernandez, with no disrespect to him. I won't make you say it, since you got to face him.
I basically
said it. So I guess it's probably better
it.
For you than saying
I,
right.
I don't, I'm not sure Keith would argue.
Fine point. Fine point. He had the best seat in the house for Doc.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Anthony Nocomo, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.